Postmodern academic themes. Postmodern literary criticism rejects the notion that literary texts have objective meanings and true interpretations. All such claims to objectivity and truth can be deconstructed. In one version of deconstruction, represented by those who agree with the quotation from Stanley Fish earlier, literary criticism becomes a form of subjective play in which the reader pours subjective associations into the text. In another version, objectivity is replaced by the view that an author's race, sex, or other group membership most deeply shapes the author's views and feelings. The task of the literary critic, accordingly, is to deconstruct the text to reveal the author's race, sex, or class interests. Authors and characters who least embody the correct attitudes are naturally subject to the greatest amount of deconstruction. Nathaniel Hawthorne, for example, in The Scarlet Letter, seems at least ambivalent about Hester Prynne's moral status, and this ambivalence reveals that he has sold out to an authoritarian, conformist, and repressive masculine religious establishment. Or Herman Melville in Moby Dick may have thought he was exploring universal themes of personal and social ambition, man and nature, but what Captain Ahab really represents is the exploitative authoritarianism of imperialistic patriarchalism and the insane drive of technology to conquer nature. In law, versions of legal pragmatism and critical legal theory embody the new wave. For the pragmatist version of postmodernism, any abstract and universal theory of the law is to be distrusted. Theories are worthwhile only to the extent that they provide the lawyer or judge with useful verbal tools. Standards for usefulness, however, are subjective and variable, so the legal world becomes a postmodernist battleground. As there are no universally valid legal principles of justice, arguments become rhetorical battles of wills. The critical legal theorists represent the race, class, and sex version of legal postmodernism. According to the crits, legal constitutions and precedents are essentially indeterminate, and the so-called objectivity and neutrality of legal reasoning are frauds. All decisions are inherently subjective and driven by preference and politics. The law is a weapon to be used in the social arena of subjective conflict, an arena driven by competing wills and the coercive assertion of one group's interests over those of other groups. In the West, for too long, the law has been a cover for the assertion of white male interests. The only antidote to that poison is the equally forceful assertion of the subjective interests of historically oppressed groups. Stanley Fish marries the pragmatist and crit approaches in arguing that if lawyers and judges come to think of themselves as, quote, supplementers, unquote, rather than, quote, textualists, unquote, they, quote, will be, therefore, marginally more free than they otherwise would be to infuse into constitutional law their current interpretations of our society's values, unquote. In education, postmodernism rejects the notion that the purpose of education is primarily to train a child's cognitive capacity for reason in order to produce an adult capable of functioning independently in the world. That view of education is replaced with the view that education is to take an essentially indeterminate being and to give it a social identity. Education's method of molding is linguistic. And so the language to be used is that which will create a human being sensitive to its racial, sexual, and class identity. Our current social context, however, is characterized by oppression that benefits whites, males, and the rich at the expense of everyone else. That oppression, in turn, leads to an educational system that reflects only or primarily the interests of those in positions of power. To counteract that bias, education practice must be recast totally. Postmodern education should emphasize works not in the canon. It should focus on the achievements of non-whites, females, and the poor. It should highlight the historical crimes of whites, males, and the rich. And it should teach students that science's method has no better claim to yielding truth than any other method and, accordingly, that students should be equally receptive to alternative ways of knowing.